Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. We're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out. We want you to get ready to take lots of notes. We want you to go to another level in your life because it's all about entrepreneurs. Well, we have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, the tools for you to be successful at life, at work, at school, and in your business. And now your host, the power coach, Lalisa, and the possibilities coach, Cassandra.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a great day. I am ready to get out here and get going.
I'm fired up and ready to go.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the only way to live your life, you know, get up and get out there and make something happen. Make something happen. You know, when you do that, it makes a difference in the world when you're ready to get out there and make things happen and create all the good that you can. It's going to come back, you know. It's going to come back to you. So I'm ready for another awesome day, and I'm so glad that God woke me up to be able to participate in it, you know. My mom used to say 6 feet above ground any day is always good. So I'm 6 feet above it, and I'm going to make the best of it.
Another day, another opportunity, Coach Cassandra. Another opportunity to get it right. Another opportunity for love and goodness. Another opportunity to spread joy and peace. Another opportunity, like you said, to make an impact in someone's life. You know, no matter what we're going through, we got technology, we got, you know, a place to lay our heads, hopefully. But you know what? There are people who don't have that. You know, I walk past a homeless man every morning now that I'm on my way into the college. And, you know, he has a bed, he has a suitcase there. And, you know, ergo, you know, but God, ergo me, you know, I could be that person. And was homeless for a time, so I thank God every day. I thank Him because look at all we get to do, you know. We get to host a wonderful radio show every morning, get to talk to people who are successful, who are making a difference in helping other people, because that's what it's all about. You know, Abraham Maslow talked about the hierarchy of needs and the five of them. But I dare say there's a sixth need. There's a need to help others. That's a human mystic. That's a need that we have, and a lot of us unfulfilled.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Once you self-actualize, now it's time to help others.
You're absolutely right, Coach. And, you know, we succeed, we become whatever it is that we desire, when we think that we can, when we believe that we can, when we know that we can. And I tell you, it just starts with that mustard seed faith. You know, if you would just believe that you can succeed, it's going to happen. It's going to show up, and you're going to be utterly amazed because God has a good plan for our life. Absolutely.
It's true. And, like, I would like to ask people the question, what are you doing with your faith? What are you doing? Did you put it in a jar like a trophy and just sit there and look at it? Or did you put your faith in the ground like a seed so that it could grow and develop and make things happen? What are we doing with the faith that God has given us? You know, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, faith. People say, well, I don't have much faith. Well, he's told you how to get it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we know how to get faith. We know he's given us all a measure of it. He didn't leave anyone out. No one can say they didn't get it because of their race, color, creed, religious status, their age. You know, no one can say that. Everybody was given a measure of it. And, you know, you can double your faith. You can triple your faith. You can let your faith grow exponentially by using it. I learned that, Coach Cassandra, some years ago. You get more faith also by using it. Sort of like the man with the talent, like the story of the talent. When they used what they had, they were cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What more
wow.
faith you got. And it takes faith to do a lot of things. I mean, I'm driving on this highway, and I got faith in this car. I believe that these wheels aren't going to fall off, and I believe that that Big Mac truck is not going to come across this lane. So we do have faith, and sometimes we don't realize how much faith we got. You know, you get on an airplane, you got a whole lot of faith to put your on that thing. A jet mechanic, okay? So I saw the people that make those things, and I'm like, woo-wee. You know, they trust me to make a plane, you know what I'm saying? Oh, well. So, you know, if God could take a school dropout and let him be a mechanic on an airplane, you know, you got to. We have a rule, and listen, if you eat them rods, I know you got faith. Man, please, you put that stuff in our body, we don't know what's going to happen.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, we use faith every day.
You know what it is, Coach? We decide to have selective faith. We decide we can have faith over here and faith over there because it appears easy or it appears to be something that we can control. That's what it is. But if it looks like something that we don't, you know, have our finger on or that we can figure it out, then, you know, we get a little scared and end up putting more doubt in the fear instead of, you know, putting more, we should put more faith, you know, or belief in our faith and doubt our fears. But sometimes we flip the script and we do it backwards. But thank God, you know, just like the man in the Bible said, you know, Lord, help my unbelief. Because it takes great faith to do a lot of things that we do, you know. And sometimes you just have to say, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God that I can do it, that I can be successful, that my dream can come true, that my desires, you know, to help create something positive, something good in the earth can come to pass. But you got to believe it. You just got to say, I don't know how, but it's going to come to pass. You know, you don't have to know how the dots connect. You just have to keep moving out toward what it is that you believe you can do. You know, if you had not believed in this radio broadcast, you know, we would not be here having this conversation. You've just got to get up. You made the phone call. You checked out Blog Talk. You did whatever it took, you know, just like to get the job that you have right now. You have the faith that they could hire you, that you would be the candidate. But you had to fill out the application. You had to go to the interview. We've got to do the small stuff to get the bigger stuff. So it's the same process.
Not to cut you off, but add a quick note to that. Even when I didn't believe, because there was a moment that I did not believe that it would happen.
but you still, see, once you know how to move, you move regardless of what you feel. See, that's why people say, oh, mm-hmm. I feel this. Oh, I'm not moved by how I feel. Because the feeling may say, don't quit. But you got to know that you can still walk toward it, even when you don't feel it. That's when you really will experience a supernatural move of God. Like even with the woman with the issue of blood, she didn't even know what had possessed her to do that. And Jesus had to tell her, no, lady, it was your faith that did it, you know. And so, you know, even when you don't think it's going to turn out a certain way, still do it anyway. But anyway, I believe that I see our guest is has joined us now, so I just wanted to welcome
yes.
Joe. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Can you all hear me?
We can.
Loud and clear. Yes, of course.
I was just listening to you all's discussion about faith. I need that. I always need that.
Good for you.
Good for you.
You know what? That's why we encourage each other. We encourage each other. That's what we're put on earth to do. You know, the Bible talks about encouraging each other daily. And, you know, I can't make it without you, Melissa. I can't make it without you, Coach Louisa. It takes us coming together and supporting each other. That's why I don't have time to put anybody down. I don't have time to hate on anyone. You know, there's too much to do for all of us, you know, and it takes faith,
okay.
You know, to walk out the door in the morning.
Yes, yes, it does. And it's kind of interesting that you all are talking about faith this morning, because I would say maybe about 2 days ago, I was just really having one of my moments, and it was just, you know, I'm very hard on myself. I give myself a lot of standards. And I was just kind of comparing myself to people, other people, right? Like, Dad, why am I not here yet? Or, you know, I thought things should be this way. And the next day, actually yesterday morning, during my daily Bible reading, I always just flip a page because I believe that whatever I'm supposed to read, you know, God, he'll just put it in front of me, whatever I'm supposed to hear for that day. So anyway, when I flipped the page, guess what I opened up to? The Ten Commandments. And we've all, you know, everybody knows the Ten Commandments. But yesterday morning, one stuck out to me. And I think it's number 10. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. And
wow.
Right there, I was like, okay, I got the message. You know, you know, Lord, I got the message. And it just told me, you know, you just got to keep on going, and what's for you will be for you.
Mm-hmm.
Just have to take the... You just have to believe that it's going to work out, and, you know, sometimes just take the first step and just keep on going. Because one thing I know is that no one can stop your blessing.
Come on now. You're right about that. You're nobody but you.
That's
and sometimes
right.
You can want something somebody else has, and then, you know, what God knows is that really we couldn't handle it sometimes, or if we had it, we may not even appreciate it, because the reason that he may have given it to someone else is that for, you know, it has a bigger purpose to it. It could be something in the past. And sometimes, you know, we might want to be careful. Like, I know I used to think like that. And somebody said one time, I heard Dr. Juanita Bynum preaching a powerful word on that once, that we knew all the hell somebody had to go through to get where they are. And if we had to walk with they walking, wouldn't have, you know, it wouldn't have been so pretty, maybe. So,
mm-hmm.
That too. So, thank you for sharing that.
No problem. I think it might have been T.D. Jakes who said this. Sometimes things are better in your head than in real life.
So. I know that.
Well, you know what? Go right ahead.
That's good, though.
Yes. Well, I just wanted to properly introduce our guest to the All About Entrepreneurs audience. Today we have with us Melissa D. Hall, and we're so glad to have her in the studio. She has a blog spot called The Raising of a Mogul. The Raising of a Mogul. I believe I'm saying that right, Melissa. And she has a blog spot. So we're just so excited. She has her own business. She teaches other folks how to be successful. And, you know, when you are a type A personality, and I think that's what I'm hearing, Melissa, you always want to go to the next level. And I think that's part of it. It's not always about coveting what someone else has, although sometimes we do want what other people have. And I think part of that is because, you know, we're maybe it's not so much jealousy, it's just that you want to maybe be a person of excellence. Because there are people that I have truly admired. I don't feel like I was coveting them. And I did want what they have, but it wasn't necessarily their stuff. I was looking at the excellence on their lives. I was looking at, you know, that if God can do it for them, he can do it for me. So I was looking at it more of the standpoint of, you know, God was using them to kind of be a cheerleader, you know, saying, hey, if I can do it, you can do it too. So, and I mean, I know it can happen both ways, you know, that we're, you know, maybe envying them. And, of course, we're not to envy, but I think we can admire some things that people have. And God can use that as a tool to, you know, get us to go to the next place and to the next place to do the next thing. And I've heard some great singers say that, you know, I really admired so-and-so when I was a kid and wanted to sing like that. And, you know, here I am, you know, getting this, you know, this great award. So, you know, that can have a positive benefit also. So we've got Melissa Hall with us. We welcome you to All About Entrepreneurs and absolutely want to hear, how did you get that blog going and what's it all about? Tell us a little bit about what Making of a Mogul is all about. It sounds exciting.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, my blog is just about just entrepreneurship, getting to the next level, getting, you know, just dropping some golden nuggets based on things that I've experienced and seen others experience that I just really hope that I just needed to share. To be honest, my blog is kind of like therapy, you know, just a way for me to release, give back. You know, and that's it. I have some great articles on there. One is how to pick a profitable side hustle. That one's really near and dear to my heart. It's actually one of our most popular articles on the blog. It's been definitely getting a lot of traction. I see so many people, and myself included, trying to, you know, make extra money out here, getting involved in so many different opportunities, and they don't know which one's right. So that's my, I guess, my flagship post right now. Yeah. Also on my, go ahead.
No, I'm just agreeing, just yes, go ahead.
Also, too, I have a few other articles on there just about, one is called The Agent's Pledge. As you all know, I am in the insurance and financial services industry. And it's just something that I wrote just about taking a pledge to our clients and our industry. And sometimes when people are out in the field or agents are out in the field, they can kind of get overwhelmed. And it's just something just to remind people and bring them back of why they're out there. And I also have a few other posts just about entrepreneurship as well.
Yeah, I see that you began in the insurance industry in 2008, and of course you recognize how difficult it was, and of course then it was difficult for you because you had a grandmother who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, so, you know, it took you a minute to get up and going, and but, you know, from the start of your career, you've pretty much been a top performer. You won all kinds of sales achievements and honors, and you've received the Sharp Leading Hall Senior Committee
Just how I started off in the industry and started my own business? Is that what you're asking?
Yes. And how you got there, that you said you got an award also for your community involvement.
Okay, yes. Okay. So that award, actually, I teamed up with a group of seniors here locally in Baltimore, and they wanted to put on a community day just to raise money for their senior building and just to give back a little. So I actually helped them coordinate that event and actually sponsored it for them. And they actually, I actually dressed up as a clown for them and
oh
provided
God.
The entertainment. So I earned that award. I earned that award, but it was lots of fun. It was
oh
lots of
God.
Fun. Anything for the people, right?
Yeah. Wonderful. Wow. And then in 2012, you founded your own insurance agency, the Mel V. Hall Insurance Services. So that is so wonderful. And I believe you're still in your 20s, right? What was the impetus for you to start your own business?
Oh, well, that's a good question. Yes, I'm still in my 20s. Well, I've always been an entrepreneur in a sense. I've always been selling something. I come from a long line of entrepreneurs. I've always, when I was younger, I would always see my mom go and do these, like, home parties, these painting parties, things like that. My dad also, he's in sales as well. He sells textiles, all different kinds of things. And he used to take me out with him when I was younger. And to be honest, like I said, I was in college, and, you know, everything was coming due. Rent was coming due. Everything else was, too. And I needed a change. And so I got an interview call from a local insurance agency here in town, and I just knew it was something I wanted to do. I don't know. Like, I guess it was definitely, you know, walking by faith, because I remember when I told everyone, hey, I wanted to be an insurance agent, they were like, why would you do that? You know, isn't that commission only? You know, what's wrong with you? I can't do this if I don't know how much I'm getting paid. You know, that's what everybody says. I need to know how much I'm getting paid every week.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and so I was like, no, I can do it. I have faith in myself. So I went ahead. I quit my job. I took the class on a Monday. I took my test on the Wednesday. On that Wednesday, I passed it, and I was out in the field selling by Friday. Like I said, at first I started off with other agencies. And then, you know, I was like, okay, I have enough experience. I can do this myself, you know. So I started working out of my house, built up my clientele. You know, I've done a call center operation, got my own office in 2012. And since then, I've just been on this journey.
Wow. Well, listen, my hats are off to you, because I did insurance sales for a little while. And let me tell you, taking that insurance test, I don't know how it is in your state, but I live in Missouri. It took 3 days just to take the test. They gave us, we went through a class that was 3 days, so we couldn't even take the test in 3 days. And then they told us to take a week or two just to, you know, go over all, I mean, the expectation level was totally different. You know, most of us took our test 2 weeks later, because they wanted us to study and make sure we understood everything before we even took the test. So it was a lot longer process. So I don't know what that test looks like where you are, but here, that test
oh,
was
I mean, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. The insurance test here, it is no joke. I think that's anywhere. And you know, just at the time, my back was against the wall, and I knew I had to make something happen fast. So if it took me staying up 48 hours, you know, to digest this information, I was going to make it happen.
Wow. Well, my hat's off to you because, you know, the insurance industry is not easy. And what, you know, so my hats are off to you because what I saw a lot of, even with the top hitters, you know, they may have sold, you know, 20, 30,000 in 1 month, but a lot of times, you know, almost half would be gone with people, you know, canceling their insurance. So, I mean, it was a real juggling act. So if you were able to perfect that, oh, my God, we need to roll out the red carpet for you. Because that was no joke. That is nothing to play with. Oh, my gosh. Go ahead.
No, so thank you so much. And, you know, the insurance industry, it can be very difficult, but also definitely, I can say, very rewarding. And some people do get plagued by, we call it the chargeback monster, where, you know, they're getting out the business, you know, things like that. But it's just, I would say, it's just a matter, just like any other business, you want to always try to keep in contact with your existing client base, as well as generate new business. But one thing I have found is that the more in contact that I am with my existing client base, the more new clients I receive by way of referrals. And it's a lot easier, too. So everything works hand in hand.
Well, like I said, my hats are off to you because you know, I feel like we were, like, trained by one of the best in the industry. He had actually the gentleman that started his own agency, he did a co-ownership with another guy before he finally just stepped out on his own. But he, and before he did that, he'd been in the industry over 10 years and very good at sales, had a formula down and all of that. But if you were banging it, all I can say is, you know, we need to roll out the red carpet for you because you found a formula and it works. Oh, my gosh, kudos to you. I need to fly out to take one of your classes. I would be curious because this guy was really, really good. And, you know, he did, like I said, he had some heavy hitters, but it just seemed like as much as they sold, with half as much was coming back in chargebacks. And, you know, and they did have a system down because I got to go and did my best to perfect it. And, you know, it was either feast or famine. That's all I can tell you. It was either. And my father excels in sales. So, you know, maybe I should have pulled on his apron strings or you know, when I was doing it. But I guess at the time I just was so involved in doing it, I didn't even really reach back to tap into that. But
that article, Making of a Mogul, how did you choose a title like that? How did that happen for you?
I call it the Raising of a Mogul. Because eventually I hope to be a mogul. You know, what can I say? I will be, you know, say that, and own different enterprises. And I just thought about, you know, where I see myself. You understand? And I just thought it was the perfect name.
Wow.
And I talked about the raising. I said the raising because people are going to hear about my different experiences. Just how you raise a child, you know. You raise a mogul, I guess.
I really do. You know, I mean, you know, it just shows where your mind is, and if you can believe it, you will achieve it. It will happen. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, the time before it happens. I have no doubt it will happen for you, and we are so glad for your success. And with that, I'm going to segue back to Coach Lalisa. She comes from a family. I believe her mom was in sales, and so you guys would have a lot to talk about because she absolutely knows, you know, what that's like to be raised in a family that's, you know, into sales also. Coach Lalisa, we're going to take it back to you.
Yeah. All right. All right. Yes. And I just want to make sure I didn't, okay, I want to make sure I didn't miss anyone. But, yes, my mom actually, and as a teenager, yes, she was in sales. But then as a young lady and as an adult, she worked for the IRS. And so she did taxes as well, dealt with taxes her whole life. And I know you hear the buses in the background, so I'm moving into the building. You know, this is a walk. You know, part of the all about entrepreneurs is partly a street radio show as well, because every morning now I'm on the streets of Jersey City, New Jersey, about to cross over Bergen right now. I never knew this was Bergen.
Give you a minute. Give you a minute, Coach, to get yourself settled. I know how that is when you're trying to multitask. Melissa, how often do you get an article out? We'd love to get your contact information so we know how to connect with you and all of that.
Sure. I try to publish at least every 2 weeks. If you like, every 2 weeks. If you want to go to my blog, it's meldhall.blogspot.com. Also, too, you can always reach me via email at melissa@hallinsurancemd.com. And one thing I will say. I think things definitely changed for me in my career when I stopped looking at myself as a salesperson and more as a marketer and also a business owner. You understand? Because when you say salesperson, that is just so, to me, in a sense, like narrow-minded if a person just thinks of themselves as a salesperson, because they'll always be pushing product. What I've learned is that which works best is to push yourself. You understand? Because people, one thing about it, of course, we all know people buy you. They don't buy anything else. They don't buy your product. And so many times I see people just push the product. And, hey, if they decide to change opportunities or something like that, their client base, which they've worked very hard attached to their product instead of being attached to the actual person that brought them to the product. You understand?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, how many people do you have working for you?
Sure. About this time, I have about four agents, two part-time and two full-time agents.
Well, I tell you what, where do you see yourself in the next 10 years?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. So, in the next 10 years, actually, I see myself definitely becoming a full-service financial brokerage firm, really focusing primarily on women because I love helping women. Because of course now it's times are changing with the distribution of money. Women, we're actually the breadwinners nowadays. We're making like 60% of all household income. So definitely, yes. You know, we're real powerhouse out here. And one thing about women in relation to men, we really don't know exactly per se what to do with our money. And how to make it grow for us. Those things weren't taught to us. We were taught to be domestic, take care of the house, raise the kids, not to grow our portfolio. So that's really a passion of mine. It does take some time to become a licensed, certified financial planner. It's actually, just even the apprenticeship, not including the courses that you have to take, are 3 years. So I see myself definitely on a full-service financial brokerage, helping women, you know, helping advisors realize their dreams. And also, too, I've been toying around, believe it or not, with an idea of launching my own work bag line. I know that sounds something different.
What does that mean? What does
work,
that mean?
Like work bags, like, for example, different a bag that you take to work, like different briefcases and things for women. I don't know. Something I've been thinking about. Yeah, you know, it's always good to have a nice bag to go to work with, you know, that you put all your stuff in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what, and that's what I love about people that are entrepreneurs. You know, just like if you look at some of the singers, they start out singing. Next thing you know, you see them in a movie. Maybe they design a perfume line. Look at Jessica Simpson. She's, you know, she's got shoes, clothes, jewelry. I mean, she is really, really blanked out. And I think that's what happens when you start discovering your gifts and your talent. Then you do the next thing. You do the next thing. And I get so tickled because sometimes people will say, well, why do you want to do that? You do this and you do that. And I don't see myself as, in a box that I can only do this, you know, that I'm only known for this. I just see it as, you know, another creative outlet, another expression of who I am.
Exactly. And let me tell you something. I feel that everything we do in life definitely prepares us for the next thing coming in life. You understand? And
yeah.
I'm going to tell you, like, I actually went to acting school in New York. And it's so funny because people, they come up to me all the time. They say, well, I thought you were going to be an actress. What happened to you going to acting school in New York? Well, let me tell you, I learned a lot of valuable skills. You understand? I learned how to speak, which prepares me for radio interviews like this. I learned different acting exercises and coaching techniques, which I use with my associates when I'm training them to make them even better salespeople. So everything that we do is holistic, and at the end of the day, it's all going to come together, and you're like, oh, wow, you know, hey, God, that's why you had me do that. That's why you had me go through that. It's just amazing how life works
out. Right. It's like a synergistic effect. You know, one thing touches another thing, and it affects the bigger picture, you know, and that's what's so great. You know, one of my favorite people that I love to listen to, Dr. Cindy Trim, she says perfect practice makes perfect. And you become better at something the more you practice it. You perfected insurance because you kept doing it, and now you're considered an expert in the field. So if we would look at that as embracing, you know, all of what we can become instead of thinking, you know, I'll just do this all my life. You know, I don't think people still think like that anymore. I would hope they don't.
You know what? They don't.
To experience. Yeah.
Yes, they don't. And, you know, one thing I can say, and that's another reason, too, why I started writing my blog, because there is really a shift happening in this world. Oh, it is a shift. You know, it's definitely a transfer of wealth happening. You know, people are hungry. People want opportunity. People want to go to the next level. People really get it that there is no more job security. You understand that if you want to make it out here, you definitely have to make your own opportunity. And that is what I see happening all the time. I'm looking at my Facebook timeline, and I see so many people promoting their own businesses now. And, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It's definitely a beautiful thing, and people, their minds are definitely growing. They're seeing that if they want something out here, they're going to have to, you know, go roll up their sleeves and try to make it happen. And I'm just here to, you know, help contribute along the way, you know, share my experience, and hopefully it can help somebody else, right?
But that's a good point, too, Melissa.
I'm back now. But that's a good point that you make about people starting their own businesses. And one of the reasons we're so happy to be presenting all about entrepreneurs and the environment and an atmosphere where entrepreneurs can come and learn what to do. Because there was a time when, as an entrepreneur, you pretty much had to figure it all out on your own, especially, mm-hmm. you know, inner city people, or people that didn't have a lot of influential people around them that could show them. So you had to pretty much just pick up whatever clues you could. So we've mm-hmm. kind of taken that out of it. We've taken that. I know for me it was hard, even though I just had family members that were in business for themselves. It was my grandfather who had his own business, and then my father. I still didn't know what all it took to start and have a business. So we try to provide that by bringing people like yourself on the show who can tell their story, because not everybody's going to, you know, get the instructions from this person or that person. But that's so interesting that for businesses, right? So people, it's what they choose. Some people choose, like, you know, to start a business. And, of course, we know that, you know, everybody can't start a business, because then, you know, who will work for those who start businesses? But, you know, everybody knows that they can't start a business, and not everybody wants to. I teach business courses from time to time, and I say to my students every semester, okay, who wants to be an entrepreneur? And, you know, kind of we discuss it. And one student told me, I want to get vacations, when, you know, paid vacations from, you know, that kind of thing. It's kind of funny. But but I tell you, your story is fascinating. And, you know, you being so young, and then it's about purpose today. A lot of people today, they're looking for purpose. They're like, okay, you know, what's my purpose? Yes. They don't just want a job. They want purpose, right?
Yes, that is so true when you talk about purpose. Because I'm going to tell you something. I went through many jobs before I started in the insurance industry. I'm going to tell you, I did. I was, at one point, I was a paper girl. I did seafood. I was a calling girl. I cooked shrimp. I was a clown for a while when I was in college. I probably, like I always tell people, I probably have more W-2s than you have shoes. You understand? But, you know, it was my journey. But I'm going to tell you one thing, though. I do believe when it comes to purpose that a person's purpose does change. You understand? For instance, like at that time, I guess my purpose was to go through those different experiences and take from them. You get what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And now my purpose is to ensure people and to teach other agents how to be successful. But one thing I can say, though, is that sometimes my purpose is just to show up.
Yes.
And sometimes it's not even about the career or anything. Because I'm going to tell you, I went to go see a client, and it was her and her husband, and I knocked on the door. And, you know, these people were in their 40s, young, healthy, you know, had the kids running around and everything. So I said, look, I don't have time today, but I'll see you the next day. So, and usually if it's a person, I catch them home, I see them right then and there. But it was just a lot going on. So I knocked on their door the next day to see the wife, and no one came to the door. And, you know, I'm here in Baltimore, and so I'm knocking on the door, no one comes. I said, dang, this is strange. So I see that the door is open, and I'm like, man, should I go in? So I go in, and here's this lady, like I said, in her early 40s, laying on the ground, could not breathe, you know, two-year-old running around. But what was happening was she was actually having her first bout with congestive heart failure.
Oh, my God.
And if I wouldn't have shown up, this lady would have died because no one was there. So when you talk about purpose, like I said, sometimes your purpose is just to show up. It's not even about us at the end of the day.
Wow. It's not. Yeah. It's never about us. We learned that.
It's never.
Wow.
It's never.
It's never about us. Wow. You said you're about 20 something, 28 or something.
No. I'm 27.
Okay.
Not 28, 27.
No, I'm just kidding. No, that's right. You, like, savor those years. So you're 27. I'm 50. You're 27. So there you go. That's about the difference of how many years. 57, 27, 30. So 30 years. Two generations in between us. Generations, they about 15 years or so, they start to look at generation statistics. And but wow, that's awesome. So you know what? But that you're so right. That purpose, just showing up, is to say, it's like anywhere. Anytime we show up, it's purpose. Anywhere we show up, it's a purpose for it. But now, do we always see it like that? Maybe not. But maybe we should. It's a purpose. Even our pain, even the situations that are hard for us, I found in my lifetime that even those had purpose. You know, who knows if that experience that you had with that woman doesn't give you that much more motivation and dedication to the field you're in. Because, again, without insurance, if something had tragically happened to her, then what about her children, her family? Where are they going to live? Who's going to pay the mortgage? How will they still go to college? And so I found that when you have those types of showing up, it's usually directly tied to our purpose.
Yes, good. I mean, yes. And I'm going to tell you, it just reminded me, and I think, you know, it's always a little, you know, I always feel like God gives us signs to let us know that we're on the right track.
Yes, he does.
Right? And I remember that the day before that happened with this lady, I was just like, man, what's going on? Do I need to pick another career? You know, I was just going through like a dismal time, and showing up at that lady's house and that happening was just God's way of saying to me, hey, just, you on the right track. You know, just stay what you're doing. I see you have a purpose here besides, you know, just knocking on doors and, you know, selling coverage. You know, so he just gives us little signs. It was amazing.
And coverage is important. I remember when my mother passed away, it would have been a hardship on us to bury her, because we wanted to give her a really, really nice burial. And we think she had the coverage. You just don't know. Well, you do know, because you deal with it every day. So so coverage is great, I think. So, yes, I say kudos to you, like Coach Cassandra, hats off to you, because sometimes we don't get that. You know, we don't understand that while we're making those premiums, it may not feel good. But when my mom passed, for me and my seven children, for us to sit around that table and nobody had to worry about, you know, do I have to give up my mortgage this month? Do I have to sell my car to bury Mama? We were able to take a policy that she had been paying, you know, and that we knew where the paperwork was, because I've seen that happen to families. They had the policy. I mean, no mama was paying, but nobody knew where the policy was. So I say kudos. Go ahead.
Yes, no, what, just everything you're saying is so right, and you're right. I do see it all the time. You know, life insurance, of course, is so it's so important. People don't think about it. A lot of times people think it costs more than it is. But it's something that you leave for your families, because it's hard. I mean, just even a funeral alone, not even talking about, you know, paying the mortgage. A funeral is about $15,000. And you got to come up with that money in a week. And I always tell people, if you can go ahead and buy cigarettes, you know, buy all these different things, you can go and put $10 a week away to make sure that your family has money to bury you. And also, too, one thing people don't understand is that, you know, how a lot of these wealthy families preserve their money and also circumvent taxes and pass it down is through life insurance.
Yeah,
because life
absolutely.
Insurance benefits are tax-free. So, I mean, for a person not to have life insurance, it's like, okay, what's going on? Because that's for your family to make sure you're kind of leaving a legacy behind and they're in a better place.
You know, that's a good point, too, that you talk, because we were talking yesterday about leaving legacies for our children and our children's children, and I think that the insurance talk hasn't, you know, gone forth enough in certain
mm-hmm.
households. So, you know, we don't know, because I know I too, like Coach Cassandra and yourself, you know, I went through life insurance training, but I think it was like your acting class. You know, God never intended for me to be a life insurance distributor, but what God did want me to do was to see the purpose behind it. So I went through the whole 40, ours was a 40-week class up here in New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
New York Life. It was a whole week, Monday through Friday. And I never forget, you know, the things that I learned about how this, it was a young instructor about your age, and he showed this big binder. This dude had a couple million dollars worth of policies. He had this big, like, 3-inch binder full of policies that he had on himself that he wanted to bring to his marriage. And I was like, wow. And, yeah, and he described how he was going to sell this, not sell it, but, you know, cash this one in at this age. He had them all staggered. So by the time he hit 40, he would just be living off of annuities and what have you. And so, or whatever, you know, I learned enough to just know some of the yeah. Go ahead.
Yes, and I mean, it's funny that he has that big binder, but definitely, one thing about insurance that people don't realize is that that's one of, like, the safest investments that you can make. I mean, I have some of my clients getting as high as, you know, 11% interest on their money that they're making towards the insurance premiums and that they'll actually be able to retire off of. Because one thing people... One people think people don't realize is that since insurance is tax-free, all of the interest and everything that you receive from your policy, that's tax-free as well. And also, too, since insurance is such a safe investment, people are now using that to save for long-term care. And I'm sure everybody on here knows how expensive, you know, long-term care is. You know, I don't know if you all know, but the statistics are that 3 out of 4, every 4 adults will need some type of long-term care in their lifetime. So now what insurance companies are doing are integrating long-term care into their policies for people. And that's really been a benefit. Yeah, it's amazing.
So you got a lot of teaching and education to do. And I, because we need to know, like, I think about me being 57. If I had known this when I got my first real job, I would say job outside of summer job, my first real full-time job, if I had known this then, I'd be a millionaire twice over by now. You know, I'd have, but I didn't, because I didn't know. So I took jobs and didn't really save and just took jobs and da-da-da-da-da. But this information, I think, definitely is for people of all ages, but I would love to see the 18-year-olds who are just getting that first full-time job or that first full-time company or whatever, whether they're becoming entrepreneurs or whether they're working for someone else. I would love to see them get this information, and even those individuals who are at 18 and have to go on public assistance. Maybe they don't have a job and they don't have any other income, so they have to rely on. So I would love to see them know the truth about money and the compound interest of money and how that works, because I learned it through my accounting classes and through my school. But again, what if I had not gone to college? Where else was I going to get that information from?
You're very right. You know, I mean, knowledge is definitely power. You know, knowledge is power. But one thing that I can say is that since the internet is here, you know, it's definitely no excuse. You can look up anything, you know, you can look up anything that you want, you know, on the internet. You can research anything that you want. But sometimes I know it is about just knowing what is the next step.
But you know what? That's a good point, because we talk about it every single day. about how much information is on the internet, and we know it's out there. And, you know, there's that other group of people that they know it. They don't, first of all, they don't know it's out there. They know the internet is for posting on Facebook with their friends, sending an Instagram that they're out having fun. There's a group of people who know about the internet. They do understand digital. They send a text message to, you know, whatever. But they don't know about the information like what we're discussing. They don't know that that's out there. Because I work with college students who don't know, like they're still relying to go home and only know what's in the chapter of the book. And I'm telling them, no, you can take a topic and go to Google and throw it in there and learn more about your subject. I'm just saying, not that Google is the main one we use for students, but the fact of the matter is there are college students who don't even understand how to use the information that is on the internet. And that's where I think a younger person like yourself, you know, because your generation, you know what I mean, like you're 30 years younger than myself, you have another whole, you know, God willing, you'll be around a whole lot longer, and you'll be the future leaders of the, you know, of the world, basically. So this information has to really go forth that they know it's, they know about the internet, but they do not know what is on it. That I believe, because they're only being told to do certain things. Make an Instagram, go to Vine, make a little video clip, go to YouTube, watch some of it. You know, they don't know what we, and you and I and others who are on this show, they don't know what we know about the internet.
Yes, and, you know, and unfortunately, you know, that's all by design, you know, anyway, to keep us, you know, keep people, you know, going to those sites and entertainment sites and social media sites and things like that, and not focused on furthering ourselves and gaining information out here. But I will say, though, that the internet has really been one of my biggest sources when it comes to self-development and advancing my career, because I'm going to tell you, I mean, it's just, I've learned so much just by watching videos, you know, listening to shows like you all's. I mean, your show yesterday was excellent, you know. Just like when I first started off in the business and trying to even build my own business, you know, if I want to know how to, like, hire employees or different ways to market, like my blog, things like that, I go on the internet. Everything's there, you know. Everything is there. I mean, everything is there.
You know, we got to teach others that everything is there, because I know for a fact that there are a lot of people who don't know this. I already know that.
Yes.
We can tell if they knew it was there, and then if they don't go get it, now we can say shame on you. But if you don't even know it's there, because you're not being told it's there, you're being told only certain things is there, and then you just stop right there, as opposed to where we're taught. Like, I know definitely that is one of the beautiful things about going to college, is that we make sure our students know everything is there, and that we're there to go. As a matter of fact, now I've been to many seminars to teach us how to show them even more stuff that's there that even we didn't, that some people don't even know. So,
and don't you all have a seminar coming up where you're going to be helping people and teaching them?
And I know you're coming. It's going to be in New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey, August 16th. It's not that far. I come to Baltimore all the time. I have family there, and I love to connect with you the next time I'm down there. But, yes, August the 16th, we have Women Leaders and Entrepreneurs Summit and Business Expo. And so I hope you do plan to attend. We have,
yes, I do.
I'm sure you talk about that, definitely. Yes, it's a beautiful. Well, have you ever been? I'm pretty sure you've been in New Jersey, but I don't know.
Yes, I have been to New Jersey. I've been to New Jersey before.
New Jersey. I didn't want to be presumptuous, though, but not that far, just a couple.
I know. I've been to New Jersey. New Jersey's fun. I love Atlantic City, but I have been out of there.
Okay, yeah, Atlantic City. Because then Atlantic City is actually 2 hours from
okay.
us. So, yeah, you probably got to Atlantic City pretty quick. But yeah, but we're Newark. Have you ever been to Newark, New Jersey?
No, I'm not. I don't recall. No, I don't. I haven't gone to Newark before. I've gone
yeah,
to
Newark
Patterson,
is, yeah.
New Jersey.
Okay, Patterson. Yeah, we know. Okay, so Newark, you may have gone through Newark. Not that you have to go through Newark to get to Patterson, but it's a possibility that you were on the Turnpike or the Parkway. Awesome. Well, let's see. It's been a pleasure speaking with you and having you on the broadcast. And I love
thank
all
you
this
so
useful.
Much.
No, thank you. If there's anyone that had a comment or a question, if you hit your number one key. We can open up your phone line if you would like to ask Melissa. Melissa, is Hall, correct? H-A-L.
That's correct.
Okay, so, yeah, give everybody your information again.
Sure,
in
okay. Again, my name is Melissa Hall. If you would like to keep in contact with me, you could always email me at Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A. At Hall, H-A-L-L, insurance, MD.com. Also, too, please feel free to follow my blog. I try to update it every 2 weeks at meldhall.blogspot.com. Again, the name of my blog is called The Raising of a Mogul. And I look forward to connecting with all of you all out here. Hello.
We're still here. We have to put
okay.
the phone on
right.
mute. I have to put it on mute from time to time. But yes, wow. Well, you have definitely been a burst of energy today, and so thankful and wow. Congratulations and much success on your blog, and hopefully I can get on your blog and. You know, read some articles and, you know, just promote your, you know, promote your blog. And I certainly
oh,
believe
thank you,
in
ladies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And don't forget, are you on the Christian Social Network?
No, I'm not.
But you know about it.
Yes, I do know about it. Yes, I do know about
okay.
it. I'm not on there yet.
Okay, well.
But I'll get on it
what?
By the end of the day. By the end of the day, I'll
no,
get on it.
That's what I love about you young people. Y'all be like, we're doing it right now. Do it. No, I'm going to say it. I know everybody does that, not just young people. I know we all do it. Listen, but guess what? It's okay. You don't have to be sorry. No. We're just finding out about it ourselves. I just found out
okay.
about it a month or so. So I just am obligated to promote it every single show to every single guest. And this person that is the CEO, David Knight, what an awesome person. You know, he comes on our show on Mondays. He does what's called Miracle Monday. Miracle Monday.
Oh, wow.
Gotta tune in on Monday, girl, to hear all about it. Yes.
Yeah. I like that. Miracle Monday. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, definitely we'll tune in. And I look forward to seeing you ladies in August.
Oh,
it's going to be awesome.
Oh, Melissa, it is. And please, you know, feel free, you know, if you have any event, feel free to post it on my page and post it on Coach Cassandra's page. If you have any video clips of yourself speaking, doing any training or teaching on the business of insurance and policies and understanding money, any of those things, please feel free to share that with
us. Okay, not a problem. We'll do. Also, I do have a YouTube channel as well. People can check out. I actually have a video or two up there that I posted just about, you know, how to set appointments, the insurance opportunity. If you just go to YouTube and type in Melissa Hall, or you could go to www.iwanttobealifeagent.com. We sure are hiring. I'm going to tell you the starting average for an insurance agent is $60,000. After their fifth year, they're making over $100,000 a year plus residuals. So I'm trying to help people go to that next level. If you go to, like I said, iwanttobealifeagent.com. Again, it's www.iwanttobealifeagent.com. You know, this business is not for the faint of heart, but definitely if you put the time in, it is definitely a great reward.
Well, I have a bunch of young people that I have around me that I am going to encourage. That's why I want your stuff on my page. I want
okay.
them to see, because they hear it from me all the time, and some of these are my family members and nieces and nephews, and, you know, they always hear Aunt Lily talking about do this and do that, but I can't wait to show them someone from their own play group, you know, we call it.
Mm.
I took that from Dr. Horton. People hear me say, oh, yeah, they were in my playground, and my play group, and I want them to hear from their own people that they can be entrepreneurs and that they can be doing something. And because I know for me, I had to learn how to be an entrepreneur the hard way, because when I was 18, all I thought was that let me go and get a job and work for someone else. I didn't know, even though my grandfather had his own business my whole life, and my father eventually had a business, and my mom sold Avon and different things, but my mother also worked, and so, and my grandmother worked, and she lived with us, so I just thought that, you know, you just go get a job. I didn't realize, I knew about entrepreneurship, I just didn't know that it was a choice. I didn't know it was something that, I don't know what I thought. I didn't know that it was something you could choose, and that's why I know a lot of people don't know that either. They don't know it's a choice. That's why we have so many people coming out of college that say we can't find a job and that's horrible and this economy is the worst because we can't get a job, and they don't know that there was a choice of job or to start a job, and they don't know that. And even though a lot of people do know it, we see it because we're on social media, and that's where most people who are business owners go because that's what they know is the way to market. There's still a lot of people who don't know it's a choice. And so that's one of the things that we're doing is trying to let people know. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, and I definitely want to be involved in that because, you know, helping spread the word and, you know, any way I can be of assistance with you. Because one thing about it, you do have a choice. You do have a choice. You so do have a choice. And when it comes to owning your own business, one thing about it is that, first of all, anybody can do it. But just because you might not have a big office and all these people working for you, you might even be a hairdresser, okay? But at the end of the day, you're not just a hairdresser. You are a business owner. You are an entrepreneur. And one thing about it, you know, you don't always have to, you know, have all the bells and whistles. And sometimes it's just about getting started. And as long as you have that tax ID number, you already started, you know. You already know, and it just can grow. It can grow from there. And as long as we have discipline and a plan and we stay on it, it can happen. It can happen. So, ladies. Hello.
All right, my phone keeps going on mute. All right, then. Okay, well, thank you so much, and we will be in touch with you and stay in touch. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening in. I hope you entrepreneurs got some food for thought, some nuggets of wisdom, some points of impact that you can now make in your own career, a new idea. Maybe you never thought about being an insurance agent. Maybe now that has sparked an interest in you, and now you can get in touch with Melissa, find out more. Also, maybe you want to do a blog for your business, but you don't know how to get started. You can contact Melissa for that as well. And I tell you, this is why it's so important. We have to show each other what to do. And the same thing when you get a job, right? When you get a job, don't they take about a week showing you what to do?
Yes,
right?
Yes, they do.
In some communities, they show their children how to be entrepreneurs and family members and cousins. And then we just got to start doing that as well. So we want to show people. I want to be a trainer of entrepreneurs, training entrepreneurs how to be entrepreneurs. And so there you go. It's all about entrepreneurs.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Each one teach one. There is no lack. Okay? It's more than enough for everybody out here. So.
Come on now. Cut pie. Cut that pie. Make a pie
okay.
for somebody else.
It's right. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. It's more. And all we have to do is just create more. That's it.
I was going to say, you know what? You took the words out of my mouth, Melissa. I was going to say, and if it's not more, go make another pie. The resources to bake a pie, and if you don't know how to bake a pie, call the cake bosser. Call somebody who knows how to make a cake. There are people who are sitting around waiting to make a cake, but they don't. They just need the opportunity. So make another pie, piece off. And the resources, we cannot run out until God says so. So if the resources are gone, turn to the one who created the resource. And that, all the natural resources were created by one person. And when he's, you know, so long as he's around, you know, we can still get more natural resources, and we can go on to the next thing. So. This has been exciting. We thank you again. And everyone, you know where the archives of the show is. If you missed anything, if you tuned in late and you're wondering, you know, what are we talking about, pies and cake boss and whatever, and talking about insurance at the same time, what was that show about?
Right.
You could go back to blogtalkradio.com/AAE show, and you can find the archives of the show. You'll see Melissa's name there, Melissa Hall, on All About Entrepreneurs with Coach Cassandra and Coach Louisa. And we look forward to seeing you all again tomorrow. God willing, same time, same place. And now,
yes,
you got to believe.
Absolutely.
Yes. 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 Cassandra, tell everybody what kind of day to have.
We want everyone to have a super califragilistic expialidocious day, baby. Go out there and make it happen. Woohoo! All of our entrepreneurs.
One of my young friends, I told her I was going to play her song as much as I can, and I feel like this is a morning that you've got to believe in yourself. So out we go with Got to Believe in Me. So please believe in yourself, no matter what.
That's right. There's no stopping you now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs, and visit us on the web at www.release-your-power.com. Like our friend page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at twitterandfacebook.com/CoachLalisa. If you would like to get in touch with one of the entrepreneurs or one of the guests that you've heard on the show, please send us a request on Facebook or on Twitter or right here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, if you're not an entrepreneur yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go out and make it happen. Again, we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, for another exciting episode of All About Entrepreneurs. Stay tuned for our conferences, our seminars,